Welcome to InfoWars Nightly News. My name is David Ortiz. Today is September the 14th of 2012, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, QE3 is unleashed and helicopter bins throwing more money to the banks. Plus, Alex sits down with Gerald Celente in a mind-blowing interview. You're not going to want to miss this one.
What was the major war that Eisenhower got us in? How about none? How about it was Eisenhower who ended the...
All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Good evening. Has the United States and Israel unofficially begun a war with several Middle Eastern countries? According to several federal agencies, particularly the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they are warning of terror attacks that could continue to occur in response to an anti-Muslim trailer that has been uploaded and has appeared on YouTube. The intelligence agency's bulletin also warns, quote, the risk of violence could increase both at home and abroad as the film continues to gain attention. Now, in my estimation, this is occurring for one of two reasons. Either our blowback policies, this is occurring because of blowback. Obviously, Middle Eastern people would not be nearly as upset with us if we weren't bombing their countries, or the U.S. could very well, with the help of Israel's Mossad, be behind this video. And why would they want to do that? Well, to divert our attention from the economy, the dismal numbers that we continue to hear. Obviously, the economy is in free fall. So according to an article posted by Paul Joseph Watson today on InfoWars.com, here are his thoughts on the matter. Quote, everything about the movie suggests it was a contrived fraud to artificially manufacture unrest in the Middle East at a time where speculation that the U.S. and Israel are about to launch military interventions in Iran and Syria is rife. So Mr. Watson obviously feels what many info warriors already know, and that's that one of two things are happening. This is blowback as a result of our military policies, or the United States is somewhat involved with this film in a way to divert the public, so that they can divert the public and get us to war, with Iran. And it's also a great way to distract the public from what's going on economically here in the United States. And as this news occurs, two bomb threats were called in today at two major universities. One bomb threat occurred today at the University of Texas, right up the road here in Austin. According to university officials, quote, the university received a call from a male with a Middle Eastern accent claiming to have placed bombs all over campus. He said he was with Al-Qaeda and these bombs would go off in 90 minutes. President Powers, who's the president of University of Texas, was notified and it was decided to evacuate all of the buildings out of an abundance of caution, reports WeAreAustin.com. Now, the University of Texas wasn't the only university that had a bomb threat called in from a supposed member of Al-Qaeda. This also occurred at North Dakota State as well. According to officials, a supposed member of Al-Qaeda called in there also. And at the Valparaiso University in Indiana, they had unspecified threats that occurred. They don't say it was a member of Al-Qaeda, but obviously, police authorities had to come onto the university as well. So we haven't had any threats at major universities, and all within a matter of hours, minutes, there are two, possibly three universities that receive bomb threats from members of Al-Qaeda. Coincidentally, members of our news team were at the University of Texas producing another story around that time. And later on in this segment, Alex will talk to them and see what their thoughts are on the matter. They spoke to students who were on campus and asked them questions about how they feel about the supposed bomb threat. And also, the University of Texas does have a nuclear reactor facility, and that had to be evacuated as well. For those who don't believe that, we actually have footage of their nuclear reactor facility. So this is a great way to kill two birds with one stone. You don't only call a bomb threat to a major university, but you scare people and call a bomb threat into a nuclear facility. It gets the American public thinking that these men with steely knives and beards can not only attack our universities, but they could attack our nuclear facilities as well. So obviously this is a great way to roll out the TSA and roll out a new war with Iran and possibly Syria. And earlier I discussed that one of the reasons why this also is occurring is to divert the public from the horrible economic news that we continue to sadly receive. Today, Bernanke announced the start of QE3. For those who don't know, QE stands for quantitative easing. This is the third time that they've done it, and it's essentially printing more money. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you continue to print money, you will devalue our currency, and ultimately, that will lead to hyperinflation. Yet, Mr. Bernanke continues to do that. Our president doesn't use the bully pulpit to condemn his actions. And according to an article written today by Alex Jones and Paul Joseph Watson, while Ben Bernanke's announcement that the Federal Reserve will embark on an open-ended scheme to purchase $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities each month has been touted by the established media as the beginning of QE3, it is in fact nothing less than another banker bailout in disguise. Later on in the article, it says this has nothing to do with getting the economy going again and will only serve as yet another huge wealth transfer from the middle class to the elite. And how that occurs is obviously when you devalue the currency, you squeeze the middle class. And here come the elite and members of the government and say that we're going to now purchase assets for pennies on the dollar, but we're doing it for your good. Hey, there's no economic activity going on right now, so you should be thankful that we're buying your home for pennies on the dollar. You should be thankful that we're buying that commercial property for pennies on the dollar. A very, very sad situation. In my estimation, we've gone off the fiscal cliff. We're just now in midair waiting to splat. It's very, very sad. We're going to go. Now, many people sadly don't even know that this is going on. We live in the United States of American Idol. We live in the United States of football. And many people don't know that this is going on. And recently, our reporter Dan Badondi spoke to local area residents to ask them simple questions about the Bill of Rights. Just in case you don't know, many surveys show that most Americans don't even know who their vice president is, let alone the Bill of Rights. But here's Dan Badondi asking local residents questions about the Bill of Rights. Over to you, Dan.
Hi, this is Dan Badondi standing in the corner near the Capitol for Infowars.com. And what's your name, sir?
My name is Jason.
Quick question. Who won a Super Bowl last year?
I don't know. I'm out of that whole gridlock.
No Giants?
Last year, I believe that the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, wasn't it Bill Clinton? No. Obama.
Hey, could you tell me who the Vice President of the United States is?
No.
Joe Biden.
Oh, Joe Biden?
You can't ask me questions. I blank.
Obama's vice president.
Yeah.
Joe Biden?
Can you name three Simpsons characters?
Bart, Marge, and Lisa.
Bart, Marge, and Homer.
Bart, Lisa, and Marge.
Could you name the three branches of government?
Judicial, legislative, and... begins with an E. Executive. And I was like.
Well, you're close. I mean, a lot of people can't answer those questions.
Legislative, judicial, and executive.
Could you recite two amendments to the Constitution?
Oh, man.
How about the First Amendment?
Freedom of speech.
Yep. How about the Second?
Right to bear arms.
Good. 13th Amendment, I think, is the Women's Rights Amendment. I don't remember. But...
Oh, yeah, it was a pocket constitution, anyway.
Two of the Bill of Rights, I tell you, the first Bill of Rights is no other gods before me, and the second one is the sabbatical, which keeps Father God first.
Well, that's the Ten Commandments, which is great memorizing. That's probably most important. And but do you know the Constitutional Bill of Rights, the First Amendment?
No, sir, I do not.
Freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, freedom of the press.
And freedom of speech and freedom of press, what amendment is that?
It's the second one, I believe.
First, yeah. And the right to bear arms is?
The
you just said it, second.
Fifth, second, okay.
Second.
We got the right to bear arms and the right to pay the government a lot of money every day. If you're gonna be dumb, then you gotta be tough. If you get knocked down, you gotta get
Read back your constitution up. Before it's gone. Dan Bedondi for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Thank you, Dan, for that report. In other news, according to Reuters, Twitter gives Occupy protesters tweets to U.S. judge. According to the report, Twitter handed over tweets from an Occupy Wall Street protester to a New York criminal judge today after months of fighting a subpoena from prosecutors in a closely watched case pitting privacy and free speech advocates against law enforcement. According to the article, Malcolm Harris was one of hundreds arrested during a mass protest on the Brooklyn Bridge in October of 2011. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office wants the tweets, which are no longer available online, to try to undermine Harris's argument that police officers appear to lead protesters onto the bridge's roadways only to arrest them for obstructing traffic. So according to Mr. Harris, who was a member of the Occupy protest movement, he was just protesting and the police said, come this way, you know, over here. And then once he and other members of the group did that, they arrested him for obstructing traffic. Now, law enforcement officials want his tweets. Supposedly he talked about the matter online and now law enforcement officials want to see what he said. And this is part of a bigger problem, and that's that how far can the government get its grimy little hands on our accounts? We know that a couple of weeks ago, a former Marine was posting comments on Facebook, and he was visited by federal authorities. They questioned him. They actually took him into custody. And I think we could all possibly agree that if someone says, I'm about to kill you, and then they go out and do it, then maybe those comments should be used in a court of law. But the question is, when is enough enough? Obviously, a violent crime wasn't committed here, and already the government wants to get its grimy little hands on this gentleman's Twitter account. Now, the judge who's going to oversee this case has stated he's solely going to focus on this case. However, he expects this case to be appealed, and when it is appealed, he hopes that the judge in that case acknowledges the broader issue, which is when does the government overreach in terms of online getting people's online posts. So he wants the new judge to address the broader issue, but he's not going to do that. He's just going to focus on this specific issue, but more government involvement in your life. And in other news, in the state of Maryland, they're installing cameras, believe this or not, to see other surveillance cameras. In the state of Maryland, supposedly, according to authorities, many people have been, you know, loitering or they've been breaking cameras. And as a result, they want to see who's doing that. So they want to install surveillance cameras to see their surveillance cameras. According to an article released by WTOP, they talked to local police in the area who said that local people had started targeting the speed cameras police put up in intersections as well as surveillance cameras. The police said that since April, six people have been involved in camera damaging activities. And according to the police, one man literally pulled out a pistol and used the camera for target practice. Police found another speed camera flipped over, leading police to believe a gang of people committed the crime, considering the weight of the camera. And then there was the camera. Then there was the camera, which was set up on a stand near FedEx Field. And a man, according to police, walked up to it, cut off one of the legs and walked away. The police's rationale behind this is, hey, listen, these cameras cost up to $30,000. We can't have people damaging them. So again, we need to have cameras viewing other cameras. We don't even know if these stories are true. And here's a thought to the law enforcement authorities. Maybe people are just fed up with being monitored all the time. Maybe this is a reaction to them getting tired of the surveillance state. We are definitely becoming one nation under surveillance. And across the pond in the UK, wow, if this doesn't make your blood boil, I don't know what will. A activist organization called Big Brother Watch has found that about 200 high schools across Britain have installed surveillance cameras in bathrooms or locker rooms. According to the principals at one of those high schools, quote, it's a way of safeguarding our children. She described her school's cameras, whose footage is reviewed only if there is suspicion of wrongdoing, as useful anti-bullying tools. And she rejected any suggestion that the recording captures the students' most intimate activities, saying the cameras monitor just the doors. Well, isn't that just lovely? If you believe that, then you're sadly mistaken. But even if they are right, the cameras could simply be moved a little bit to the right, and you can catch kids going to the bathroom. You can get a pervert to obviously manipulate the cameras. And this could very well come to the United States. And also, it's important to note that this organization, Big Brother Watch, asked about 2,000 schools, are they placing cameras in their bathrooms and their locker rooms? They asked about 4,000 schools, are they doing this? Only 2,000 schools responded. So there's a chance that there's even more schools that are doing this. And of the schools that did respond, 90% said that they do have cameras throughout the school. So about 10% said in the bathrooms and in the locker rooms, but an additional 80% said, no, we don't have them in the bathrooms, but we do have them somewhere else in the school, in the hallways. You know, it could be anywhere else. So this could very well come to the United States. I said a couple of days ago that Mayor Michael Bloomberg, quite often when he rolls out big government programs, he uses things that are going out in England as an example. He always says London is doing it. Sheffield is doing it. So this could very well come to our country. It's very sad to see. And now we're going to go over to Linda West, who's going to talk about economic news and other hard-hitting news. Over to you, Linda.
Thanks, Dave. This is Linda West with the Nightly News. QE3 begins today, so that means more bank giveaways while the Americans suffer. 2008, when these bailouts started and we sent trillions of dollars to the banks, hoping that somehow it would trickle down and help Americans, that really didn't seem to work. So then they brought in QE1 and QE2. Now we're seeing QE3, but unlike the other two, QE3 is going to be endless. From an article by Mike Snyder, he writes, the Fed is going to buy $40 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities per month until they have decided that the economy is in good enough shape to stop. In other words, we're going to print a bunch of money and buy stuff for as long as we feel it's necessary. So here we go. This is an all-out attack against the U.S. dollar. Obviously, they're going to continue to print even more money, according to the Fed, such as with Operation Twist and its policy of reinvesting principal payments from agency debt and mortgage-backed securities back into mortgages. That comes to $85 billion a month. Okay, let's let that sink in a second. That's $85 billion a month that the Fed is going to start printing up with no end date. So what exactly do we think that this is going to do to the American dollar? And how do we think that this is possibly going to help when QE1 and QE2 didn't help? And let's put another thing out there. It's not like this money is coming home. This money is going overseas, probably mostly to China. It's not going to come home for research, infrastructure, to help education or pensions. None of this is coming home. The only thing coming home to us is the big bag of debt, not only to us, but to our children. So what do we do about this? What could we possibly do? Well, one thing we could possibly look at is Iceland. Now, you probably haven't heard a whole lot about Iceland because there seems to be a big blackout in our mass media outlets on what is actually going on in Iceland. So let me tell you what actually happened in Iceland. When the recession hit in Iceland, they were sitting in a much worse situation than we are now. But they handled it a little differently. In fact, they completely revolted. They rebelled. They went nuts. They went down to the parliament and they started throwing rocks. In fact, What happened next, according to a Ron Paul article, was extraordinary. The belief that citizens had to pay for the mistakes of a financial monopoly, that an entire nation must be taxed to pay off private debts, was shattered, transforming the relationship between citizens and their political institutions, and eventually driving Iceland's leaders to the side of their constituents. The head of state, Ólafur Ragnar Grímsson, refused to ratify the law that would have made Iceland's citizens responsible for its bankers' debt and accepted calls for a referendum. Obviously, they're not drinking the fluoride over in Iceland, because then in March 2010, they passed a referendum with a 93% vote against repayment of the debt. The people just said no. Iceland chose the route of protecting its populace, the taxpayer, from absorbing more debt so that the global banking oligarchy could be made whole. With the support of a furious citizenry, the government launched civil and penal investigations into those responsible for the financial crisis. They went out with arrest warrants for the ex-president. They actually went and indicted the prime minister and arrested the top three CEOs of the top banks. That's how Iceland handled it. So, this is what else they did. They forgave the debt of a quarter of their citizens, 25% of their citizens, they just said, no, you don't have to pay it back. And for those people that were underwater in their mortgages, over 110%, they forgave those too. Now, they didn't take that very well, the bankers that control everything. They threatened them, they intimidated them, they said, when you go down, we're not going to give you any loans. But guess what? They didn't go down. In fact, they flourished. On top of it, they wrote a new constitution. This is what they did. The people of Iceland elected 25 citizens from among 522 adults not belonging to any political party, but recommended by at least 30 other citizens. This document was not the work of a handful of politicians, but was actually written on the internet. The constituents' meetings were streamed online, and the citizens could send their comments and suggestions, witnessing the document as it took shape. The constitution that eventually emerged from this participatory democratic process will be submitted to Parliament for approval after the next elections. So they rewrote the constitution. They actually threw the politicians out. They got people, normal people, that the other people at all decided that these were the best people, and then they put it online. I mean, talk about democratic. Okay, so how did that turn out? Everyone said it was going to go down, it was this big experiment, because we really haven't heard, right? Well, I'll tell you how it turned out. They're flourishing. Their GDP has rebounded. In fact, they're doing better than the EU and most of the developing nations right now. And according to the Fitch rating on Bloomberg, the unorthodox crisis policy response in Iceland has succeeded. So, the takeaway is QE1 didn't work, QE2 didn't work, and QE3 is certainly not going to work. Hyperinflating our dollar is not going to work. What will work? What did work is Iceland's program. So they sent policemen in to arrest the bankers, and they succeeded. They're doing great. So I say, let's do what Iceland did. This is Linda West reporting for Nightly News.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. sign up as a distributor, and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. And again, thank you for joining us on this very important special edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I want to thank David Ortiz and Linda West for the news portion of the transmission. We're going to be interspersing a lot of really big news in the next 30 minutes with the one, the only, Gerald Celente, the top trends forecaster. We're going to be looking at Obama appeals against court ruling that strikes down the NDAA constitution killing system. Even though he says he's against the NDAA, he helped write it and then pushed for its passage and then signed it, but he's still against it. We're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at the takeover by the federal government of the cybersecurity and the internet. We now have a leak, confirmed leak of the executive order by Obama being passed around to media heads, the total takeover of the web. Folks, this is a serious tyranny we're entering. Now, Gerald Celente, of course, has had many best-selling books. He's predicted many of the things that have unfolded. You can find out more about his Trends Journal on the website we're going to be giving you here in a moment. But he has been calling the Tea Party before it materialized, the collapse of the euro, the riots in Europe years and years before. And he said a year and a half ago, he said, when Bernanke says he's not going to have QE3, you watch, they've got to do it because we'll implode if they don't. And we'll have inflation and maybe hyperinflation if they do. And so that is the path that central banks always take. And remember, they promised no QE3. Then they said, okay, you're demanding it maybe a little. Now they've said QE unlimited. And we have our article here at Infowars.com today that I wrote. New banker bailout disguised as QE3. $85 billion. The media is saying $40 billion. That's just part of it. $40 billion a month to go buy private derivatives from the banks. So it's really a banker bailout, a direct tax. But total, it's $85 billion a month, and we have the press release from the private Federal Reserve. And he's going to break down exactly what this means, the mechanics of it, and what it's really doing, and how it ties into the whole LIBOR scandal and how these banks are all working in concert. And then we're going to pick his brain about, now that he's been accurate in predicting this when they promised they wouldn't, what the aftermath will mean and what the time frame is. Max Keiser, who's also got a really good head on his shoulders and worked with George Soros' son as a top stockbroker, he has said something I've never heard him say. He said by next April there will be a giant total collapse. Whatever that means, he's on next week to break it down. But that's my word on this. We're going to get Gerald Celente's take on it all, the head of the Trends Research Institute. Gerald, thank you for joining us on short notice. Wow, you've got the floor. Tell us what this means, and do you agree with my analysis that it's just another transfer of wealth to the kleptocrats?
You nailed it, Alex, in your introduction. This is nothing more than a bailout, another bailout to the too bigs to fail. That's where all the money is going. It's the same scheme around the world. They make it appear, you read the headlines, and here's the phony headlines. You ready for this one? This is coming from the Wall Street Journal. Fed acts to fix jobs market. Isn't that nice? They're going to fix the jobs market. Oh yeah, just like they fixed it before. How much did they pump into the system? Well, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, when you go back to 2008, beginning, of course, with the Bush programs, with TARP, we're talking about $23 trillion. Oh, and what's the job market doing? Son of a gun. Didn't Obama say when he pushed through the stimulus in 2009, that by 2010, we're going to see 7.2 unemployment, and it's going to go down from there. Hey, what are we at? 8.1. And why is it only 8.1? Because they don't add the people that drop out. So as you know, well know, when you look at people like a John Williams shadow stats, we're looking at 22%. And just before I get back into the QE endless, The reason why this depression looks different than the other one is that you don't see people lining up on the streets in bread lines because they have a new scam. It's called food stamps. That's right. Give them food stamps, shut them up, and get them out of the movie. And that's why people can't see the real pain. So when we're looking at this quantitative easing scheme, we have to understand that when they talk about a global economy, it is indeed a global economy in every sense. I have been saying for the last several months that I would put my reputation on the line that Bernanke was going to push through quantitative easing before Election Day. You don't have to be a trend forecaster to figure this one out. All you have to do is look back a little bit. Alan Greenspan did the same thing for George Bush the First, but he did it a little too late. And then Clinton squeaked in, and also because Perot grabbed 19% of the vote away from Bush. So they do it all the time. It's the criminal operation. And you made it 100% clear. The money is only going to the Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob, the J.P. Morgan Chase criminals. You know, all of those guys out there that have been fined in the tens or not hundreds of millions of dollars for doing their dirty deals and then never having to admit nor deny that we did any wrongdoing. And the wonderful Obama that all the liberals love under his attorney general Holder, who used to work for one of the premier white collar crime syndicate law firms. They haven't brought anybody up on charges. So now you go overseas. This past week on Wednesday, the German Supreme Court. You have to put a photo of the German Supreme Court up, Alex. These little cats in these red little uniforms with these cute little red hats. These little wimpy SOBs. They just violated the German Constitution. 38,000 Germans had signed on to this. That to find the European Stability Mechanism, which is white shoe boy language, to steal the money from the taxpayers, deposit it directly into the banks, and give it to the hedge funds, the brokerages, the investors, and the bankers that made bad bets at the tune of 700 billion euros and pay back all the bad bets they made. But because you're a member of the White Shoe Boy Club, we're going to give you interest. So they violated their constitution. They even admitted they did it for economic purposes. And then on September 5th, as I was saying, Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank. For those who don't know who Mario Draghi is, he was the vice chairman of the Goldman Sachs gang European division. Yes, the Goldman Sachs gang that cooked the books to bring the Greeks into the Eurozone. That Mario Draghi. He announced, just like this, you said this endless QE, he announced they're going to buy up all of those worthless Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, Irish, Greek bonds, nonstop. All we're seeing here, and you could throw China into this loop as well, it's all connected. They are printing nonstop counterfeit digital money to give to their pals in the banks and the hedge funds so they could keep the scam going.
All right,
I'm not making this up.
No. I mean, you're not there, Gerald. And just to interject the magnitude of this, I played the clip on the radio today. Ron Paul on television said we should, quote, be panicking right now, but instead we have this mass Stockholm syndrome or this learned helplessness. I guess the word could be normalcy bias. Quote, country should be in panic over Fed's decision. Zero hedge. Infowars.com, he said that one on CNN.
And Ron Paul's never talked like that. The fact that they're not just doing QE3, but it's unlimited looting, and then it comes as inflation for the general public. It devalues the purchasing power. They're buying 1.4 billion bullets, giant black armored vehicles, checkpoints. The military's preparing for civil unrest worldwide. And I saw what you're talking about. Barroso over in the EU, he said, hey, we need a total federal state run by the banks over these countries. So they're capturing us by getting our governments that are their operatives to sign on to their fraudulent paper. Then they have their prostitute media, the term you coined, tell us that it's our debt, and then they're raising taxes to pay it to them. My God, they're going to go all the way here, Gerald. So that's my question to you. Why? How do they think they're going to get away with this? Because when they say unlimited, and they're going to buy all the derivatives that these criminals created and spend $85 billion a month just here in the U.S. giving it to them, I mean, what's next? Are they going to demand our daughters?
Yeah. It's one banking syndicate. It's what Rothschild had said. They would make it so complicated that people wouldn't understand it until they lost everything, essentially, and were put under the control of one bank. Here, this is a quote. Now, this isn't a left-wing, subversive newspaper. This is the front-page story last week out of the Financial Times. The Financial Times. Here's the headline. Draghi helps out Obama campaign. Barack Obama's chance of re-election as U.S. president rose on Thursday, and the words that did it were not his, but Mario Draghi's. Long before Mr. Obama stood up to accept the Democratic nomination in Charlotte, North Carolina, the head of the European Central Bank had sketched out a new plan to buy the bonds of the troubled Eurozone countries. That will not move the polls. It will not move a single vote. But Mr. Draghi has lowered the gravest of risks to Mr. Obama's pre-election meltdown, fear of the pre-election meltdown fear of the Eurozone that would have blown up banks, pulverized Wall Street, and routed a fragile U.S. economy back into recession. They all know what the deal is. It's right here in black and white. It's from the Financial Times. They know that the system is collapsing. They're going to do everything they can to prop it up, and they're doing it. What does it mean? Not only inflation, and again, you know, I do trends in the news features as part of the subscription to the Trends Journal each day. Last week, I announced on Trends in the News I was buying gold again. I had forecasted that gold prices would begin to spike. They've gone up probably about $80-$90 since I said that. Again, you can see where this is going. They're printing this counterfeit money, this digital money, not worth the paper it's not printed on, devaluing everything else, forcing commodity prices higher, and here's the one that no one ever talks about anymore, hardly. In the old days, when I was a young boy, they used to have a thing that they used to promote in this country that made it seem like it was a good thing to do for wise people. Savings. Oh, you remember that quaint word, savings. You work and you put a little money away, you work and you put a little money away, and you put in the banks. And you know what they would do with it? They would give you interest on it. Yes! Back in the old days, you would put money in the bank and they would give you interest on it. Interest that would be ahead of inflation most of the times. Now what do? They give you nothing. They take your money. They hardly give you any interest rates. And you know why? Because America's public enemy number one, Osama bin Bernanke, has pledged and has kept doing the same dirty deal, keeping interest rates near zero. They say they're going to keep them near zero or at zero until 2015. That means everybody out there that used to, especially the elderly, that used to put money away and build a nest egg, they got a goose egg. They got zip, nada, nothing. And what they're also doing by doing this is they're forcing people that do want to get a little return on their money to play their criminal operation games like investing in the stock market.
And let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. And then Gerald Celente, who's been in gold for 30 plus years and very successful, you have a private account in another company. MF Global comes along, takes control of it, takes your six figures, doesn't give it back. Corzine, who advises the president, former head of the same gang, Goldman Sachs, U.S., he's the Don of this area. He sits there and says, I didn't know about it. It comes out he did know about it, and they just announced last week they're not going to do anything to him. So that's my question. The signal has been sent that they can rob anything. They are taking general police, turning them into SWAT teams. They are openly preparing to arrest people and put them in re-education camps. So I guess it is confirmed, like you're issued last quarter. Next train to Auschwitz, they are going the pure tyranny route. But here's the question. Break down from your great acumen and gravitas and looking into the future on this, but now it's becoming pretty clear. I mean, you were getting called pessimist porn 4 years ago in the New York Times. Now here it is. They're going to keep telling everybody everything's wonderful while they dig in, while they move offshore, while they get armed guards. But clearly people are losing confidence in the system. So what are they planning to do? How bad will it get? What's the time frame?
All right. What they're planning to do is making headline news. It was 9/11, 11 years later. With what's going, I've said this in the beginning, when they first started talking about recovery, we did a trend alert on it back in 2008 and 2009.
You said when the economy goes down, they go to war.
You got it. No recovery cover-up, and they're going to take us to war when all else fails. Can't you hear the war drums beating? And that's what they're going to do. Look at the headlines today. What was it? University of North Dakota, Texas, Valparaiso. The fear and hysteria are already vibrating through the media. Go back, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I'll never forget back in August of 2011. You go back and you look at George W. Bush's popularity rating right after he got elected. You look at how many people were so disgusted with him. And then you look how it changed after 9/11. They're doing the same thing now. They're taking us to war. And as you well know, that war drum, you think it goes away, and then it keeps coming back with Israel talking about attacking Iran. And then you look at the news today, Alex, how many, and by the way, this has nothing to do with that movie about, Muhammad. That's like saying that World War I began, little boys and girls, when the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated at Sarajevo. This movie is only one match in a matchbox of volatile situations that's going to light
the fuse. Well, let's use a World War II analogy. I mean, all the forces are lining up. It's being prepared. They've sent the fleets to menace the Chinese to keep, investing and going along with the white shoe boys have. They're encircling Russia. They've got proxy wars using Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria. The Russians have pointed it out. I'm not siding with the Russians, but they're not the ones looting my country. And the white shoe boys really think they're going to push Russia and now even China around. These are guys that make 40-to-1 bets and then just take your bank account. So, I mean, I have to look at this and say, as Ron Paul said, we better panic. I agree with you. They are definitely
panic. This is real. This is real. Pick up the papers. Look at your site. Look at all of them. Tunisia, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia, Algeria, Bangladesh, Lebanon. Name the country. I mean, they could see it right in front of everybody's face. It is all exploding in front of us.
And now the CIA-produced video showing, you know, Muhammad the Prophet murdering women and stuff, you know, with horses. I mean, just designed to incite radical elements. I mean, this is order out of chaos. This is insanity.
And here's the reality. As I see it, you know, I talk about buying gold and investing and this and that. If the United States or Israel goes to war with Iran, I've said this many times, those things aren't going to be worth anything because life is going to be so miserable. You know how they say generals keep fighting the last war? There's a reason for it, because they can't win the one they're fighting, and they have no clue on how to fight the next one. This is going to be a very different war. This is going to be wars of weapons of mass destruction. It's going to be wars of polluted aquifers and suitcase-sized nuclear weapons. It's going to be the worst horror that science fiction could make up. And we already see the technology. It's in place. They're using it on us, whether it's drones watching us, surveillance. All of the technology is there to wage a war of weapons of mass destruction. No, it's not an atom bomb with ICBMs. It's not tanks rolling across. It's not jets. It's a different war, and they're taking us to it. The same people that took us to Vietnam, that took us to Iraq, that took us to Afghanistan, and before that took us to to the Korean War, that lost every war, are now taking us to the first great war of the 21st century. The timeline is on time. Go back. The crash of 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world war, the panic of 08, the Great Depression. It's a you know what the numbers are in Spain. They're about 40% unemployment. They're saying 25. Same in Greece, same in Portugal, same in Ireland. And you look around, Italy officially is over 10%. France over 10%. The United States, as John Williams points out, shadow stats, 22%. You can see it. The depression is here. The currency wars are on. And now you're hearing Mittens, Romney, and others talking about trade wars. The next is world war. What are people waiting for?
Man, you're absolutely right. And we've been so close to the problem. The dumbed down sheeple who just want to watch their sitcoms and party, they're starting to wake up a little bit. But we're almost on the opposite end. We've been so close to knowing this by researching history and trying to be informed. Yourself, myself, so many others, Ron Paul, Webster Tarpley, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, that we're almost like the sheeple in a way. But I'm getting chills right now. Because we've been so close to it, we're almost expecting it and ready for it. But then I have the realization that this is real. I mean, this is really happening. And then you talk about the generals fighting the last war, the Joint Chiefs, even Dempsey, who's a warmonger. This is like three Joint Chiefs of Staff chairmen in a row saying, don't blame us if they go to war. We don't want a war. You got Mossad heads resigning over it. You've got anybody who knows anything, like Colonel Schaefer saying we don't want this. There's a reason real war fighters who usually love a new war do not want to enter this, because you're right. It's asymmetrical. It's insane. And they also realize it's globalist bankers who want to sit back from their yachts and offshore islands and play the West off against the East so they can consolidate power and get a police state out of it. People realize this is such a hell war that they're creating, and it's got Russia looming. And the white shoe boys who were so arrogant and chutzpah, bravado, hubris filled are probably, I mean, there's a lot of experts, a lot of top brass I've talked to on and off air. They say this could go thermonuclear. I mean, this is going to get out of hand. This is going to make World War II look like a cakewalk. So I hope all the good old boys that talk about glass parking lotting all the Arabs, I hope they're ready for $20 a gallon gas if that happens. I hope they're ready for bioweapons in the streets. I hope they're ready for cities burning when the welfare people riot, because this isn't a game. You know, Homeland Security thinks it's cute. They're running ads about get ready for a zombie apocalypse as an art type of the public. They are, it's like Satan's running this or something, Gerald. I mean, you couldn't come up with a more diabolical geopolitical plan than what these Harvard, Wall Street, scumbag, crazy people have done. Because you know what? I have been freaking out, like Ron Paul says, for years. I knew it was coming. But now it's not over the hill. It's not down the street. It's 6 inches in front of our nose, and it stinks like a pile of dead corpses. And they're telling me it's pumpkin pie. They're telling me it's key lime pie to eat it. I mean, how far does this damn insanity have to go?
And you're right. It's exactly what it is. It's right in front of our noses. You know, I look at these people that are in charge. It's not only what they say, it's who says it. And how can anybody believe them? Just by looking at them. You know, when I look at these people, it's like they're like an anti-human race. They're not human, they're anti-human. All of their actions, again, they pollute our water. They poison our food. They destroy our minds. They wreak havoc on the earth. This isn't human, they're anti-human. All of their actions are anti-human. You know, they say Obama, you know, he's from Kenya, he's from here. I think this cat's from Galaxy 9. And right behind him is Mittens. And all of them.
Who's even weirder?
I'm telling you, they're doing anti-human deeds. These are not things that conscious people who care about the human race do. You know, you were mentioning about all of these people and the destruction that they bring us. Think of Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, 2-term president, and a Republican. He tells us that the military-industrial complex is taking over the nation. It will rob us of the genius of our scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. Now think about this, Alex. What was the major war that Eisenhower got us into? How about none? How about it was Eisenhower who ended the Korean War? No, he wasn't like Obama with his sleeves rolled up. Isn't that cat of a workman? He's always out on the campaign trail. Or Romney, who's been running forever, since 2006 and before. And Eisenhower also said that anyone that seeks the office is either crazy or an egomaniac. And there you have it. You have crazy and egomaniac. You have fraud and fraudster. They're right in front of our eyes.
Max Kaiser has a good analogy, and I remember seeing it in the press at the time. Some of the stockbrokers, because of the crisis of the towers, stocks were going up and down wildly, and they were making millions of dollars in the towers, and they stayed there as the buildings collapsed just to make money. And yeah. And that's what the globalists are doing. I liken them to cancer, and cancer is programmed to take it all, because I was making the point that, you know, to Max Kaiser, that cancer, if it had a consciousness, would think it was winning. It's taken over, it reprograms, nothing can stop it. And it's actually destroying the host, and he said, yeah, it's programmed to take it all. And these people really are cancer. That's why you say they're anti-human. All of us make mistakes, none of us are perfect. But these people actually, well, it's basic criminology. It's like a lot of criminals rob banks, not just for money, it's fun. And for them, it's fun. I mean, I was reading about Hitler, also watching some of the films. He would go out to the fronts, the Russian front and others, and for days he would stay up drinking coffee and eating pastries and taking speed to watch through big telescopes cities being bombed and burning buildings. And he loved World War I. He loved the dead bodies and the rotten dead people in the trenches. They said, man, he was like a fish to water to that. The black uniforms, the skulls. Well, look at our police. Look at the systems we've got. It's all that same black uniforms, ringwraith outfits, evil. And Stalin liked murder and death as well. These people are sick. These people, it's beautiful to them. It's beautiful what they're creating. And they are cancer. These people are cancer.
As I said, they're members of the anti-human race. And when people ask me, when are things going to change? And I keep saying it over and over again. Nothing is going to change until the individual changes. And when enough individuals change, they don't accept this kind of behavior from the people that want to lead them. I've made this very clear. I am not going to vote for president in this election. I refuse to vote for a lesser of two evils. I don't hang out with lesser of two evils. I don't go out with them. I don't do business with them. I'll be damned if I'm going to vote for one to run my life and run my country. And then people say, well, why don't you put a write-in ballot, a vote for so-and-so? No, because then that shows, they use the numbers to show that you are promoting their system and you put you down as somebody that voted. I will no longer be a part of this criminality. And to, again, only speaking for myself, you know my motto, think for yourself. I will not be part of this corrupt crime family that they like to call the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well said.
But you're better off calling them the Bananos or the Gambinos.
Absolutely. Tell people where your motto of TrendsJournal.com, TrendsResearch.com came from. I mean, what would your dad...
What would your dad think today
before you tell the story? What was your dad, if your dad was alive today, seeing all this happen, if my grandfather was alive today, seeing what happened, I think they would think they'd woken up on another planet. But what would your dad say about this today?
Well, he would say, you know, I'm glad I'm getting old and I don't have to live in this place anymore because I can see where it's going. When I was a little boy, you know, my mother used to want to get me the hell out of the house. I was such a troublemaker. So on Saturdays, you know, my father would go out for the business, take me along with him, and I'd be shooting my mouth off. And he'd look over at me in an Italian, he'd say to me when I'm running my mouth, he'd say, Papagallo, parrot. Stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. And I heard that a couple of times, and I respected my father as I did my aunts and uncles and the elders, and I never wanted to make a fool of myself. So before I opened my mouth, number one, I knew I had to know what I was talking about. I had to have the facts. And the second one was, I didn't want to repeat what everybody else was saying because that was the popular thing. You know, and another funny thing, I never rebelled. You know, my generation rebelled. I looked up to my elders. I have a whole wall over here of all my ancestors because I knew that I didn't know and they knew. Did they know everything? No. But everything they knew that they taught me. And that's the difference, by the way, of what's going on now. Young people have no reference point. They don't remember when America used to have, here's an arcane thought, Alex, there used to be a thing called hardware stores. Yeah, before Home Depot, before Lowe's. They were all over the place. It was a thing called an entrepreneur. I love Mittens Romney gets out there and he brags about creating Staples. Oh, wonderful. You put all those stationery stores that used to be in every neighborhood out of business, and now you can take home $62.50 a week after you work in Staples and all your taxes and everything else comes out. People have no reference point when there was style and quality in this country, when we really built magnificent cities that are now going into the dust. And as I say, the only way I see America coming back is by going back. Going back to a time when there was courage and dignity, when there was respect and integrity and passion. You can see it in the buildings that are rotting in Detroit and in Cincinnati. You can see it when America led the world in infrastructure, and now we have trains that are speeding into the 20th century, let alone the 21st. You can see it by the dignity of our president. When you had a man like Eisenhower and not a little cafone like Obama being lifted up by a pizza man with his arms out like this. Can you imagine Eisenhower doing that? Can you imagine our presidents having their wives come out at the conventions to say how great my guy is and what a wonderful daddy he is. Look what this country's devolved into. The only way we're going to get ahead, I believe, is by having a renaissance, and that means going back to American quality.
Well, all of that is great, and I agree with you, but now they have thrown another curveball, unlimited quantitative easing, which it'd be bad enough if they really gave it to the banks and said loan, but as you know, in the last 5 years, the banks won't loan anything. They hoard the money. The only place you've got really big inflation is in the luxury items because they're giving themselves the money. That's their way to stop real hyperinflation, is just to make sure we don't get any of it. But if you're going to have inflation, might as well have it be into the economy at first and get some benefit up against the bad. But instead, it's this weirdness where only the elite shops and the luxury stuff, you know, gets more expensive and they're making money hand over fist. But all the little restaurants I used to go to, all the places, they're all closed. They're all boarded up. Austin's one of the better off cities in the country, and it's bad. Everybody I know, including executives, doctors, you name it, they're making a lot less. People are moving in. Families are having to move in together. Everybody's got 2-3 service jobs. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse by the minute, and the health care plan is really written by the insurance companies to let government and insurance companies take over care and make you buy it. I mean, it's so hellish. Evil has been turned loose, and this happens in a lot of cultures. So my question to you is, time frames. You've been absolutely, I'm not kissing your butt, it's true, on target with everything you've talked about. You know, they're like, oh, things didn't collapse, Salente. Well, they're saying the collapse we're seeing isn't a collapse. They're playing games. They're messing with the numbers. But now you said, I guarantee you they're going to do the QE. They've done it. So tell us what's coming next now that it's coming more into focus. And you've obviously got some of the lines a little bit more crisp. Clearly, they're trying to hype up the Arabs with this fake video. Clearly, they've turned Al-Qaeda loose that they put in all these countries. Clearly, they're putting out all these fake bomb threats right now to get the fear going. So, yes, I see the preparatory fear-mongering that I saw before 9/11, that you saw before 9/11. We can see them getting ready. So what does that mean? Stage terror attacks before the election? TSA on the streets rolling out? I know 6 months ago I confirmed nationwide every city had its TSA checkpoint kits and groups set up. They're all waiting. I mean, clearly this has all been premeditated. They've got the hammer risen over us. How do you see it dropping? What tips can you give people once it drops? How bad will it get?
I believe that just as Mario Draghi and the Financial Times reported, they're going to hold this together until the elections financially on the economic end. All of this stimulus won't do anything, as you clearly point out, other than enrich the very rich. That's all it does. It didn't do anything before. Why should it work now? The same thing over in Europe. And you look what's going on in China as well, Brazil. You go around the world. It's all unraveling. I believe they're going to hold the economy together until after the election. And we'll probably start seeing the unwinding happening in around March. I also believe that there's a high probability that we're not going to be thinking about the economy come election day, as the geopolitical trends are now shaping up. This is not going to stop. The hate, look, Alex, Terror Tuesdays, where Obama signs off on how many drones they're going to send in to wipe out people. The Afghan war that keeps getting worse. Look at the slaughters. Every day you're seeing slaughters going on through Iraq. Africa is unraveling continually. The strikers in South Africa, Mali unraveling. Oh, by the way, that's happening as a result of the takedown of Gaddafi. Syria turning into a hellish civil war. Libya going in and never having ended the civil war. That ramping up. More destabilization in Europe. So as I see it, I believe that the economic collapse is more likely to happen around March or April, as Max Kaiser points out, but a more of a geopolitical crisis that is going to take people's minds off the minor issues of the presidential reality show.
No, I totally agree, because World War I, World War II, but there's also famous letters from 600, 700 years ago during, you know, 30 years, 100-year wars between the French and the British, who were actually the French Norman that had already conquered, and they would write letters. These are in the National Archives in England. People can pull them up. Oh, cousin, I'm having troubles at home. Can we have a war just to get everybody killing each other? But two royal families that are literally, you know, you couldn't even tell the princes apart, kind of like the czars and, you know, the Brits when they were first cousins. You know, the two kings looked identical. That was just 100 years ago or less. Well, and they would just have a war to kill off their young men and give them something to fight with. I mean, this is so sick. So you're right. As you said a year ago, or it was over a year ago, you said the first great war of the 21st century, that's where this leads. And so once they've pumped everything up, posed as saviors, stolen the money that they claim was to get the economy going, they'll just have a whole bunch of giant wars and some terror attacks and start having TSA grope our wives and children on the side of the highway, and we'll all bow and fetch to them for keeping us safe, and we just march into pure technocratic slavery. And then now they got cybersecurity executive orders. They admit shut down the web. They're talking about shutting off people that don't like them. And I guess they're going to try to come arrest us, Gerald. I mean, I guess that's it.
Yeah, that's why we wrote that. The Spring Trends Journal. All aboard. Next train to Auschwitz. Kiss those calories goodbye. And, it wasn't as though the people didn't know what was going on. The people didn't stand up and take action, just like they're not taking it now. You mark my words, Alex. You're going to see El Presidente of Los Estados Unidos. I say that because the joint's turned into a banana republic. Where the cops arrest a little kid in Pennsylvania yesterday, at Philadelphia, a two-year-old kid, 2 years old, for peeing on a lamppost? This is what they do in third world nations. They crack down on the little people. So what you're going to see is when El Presidente hits the stage, like he did when he started the Libyan war, with that, you know, gravitas, is I'm the commander in chief, and this is why we're doing what we have to do. The yellow ribbons come out, the flags go up, everybody salutes, and then they go to war. They do it all the time, and they're going to do it again. False flag or real. To me, it's in the cards.
And you can see the preparation for collapse of society. What are solutions to counteract this?
Again, I keep saying this. It goes back to the human spirit. It's what you're doing, what I'm doing, with the people that are working with you and me. The people that are listening to you and to me that want to make a positive difference. You know, I'm up here in Kingston, New York. Uptown, they call it. It's a great little place. All the people, virtually, and I say all of the people are in it with each other. Every shop owner here, every restaurant, everyone wants to see everyone doing well. We have farmers markets. We're all trying to help each other. That's where it begins. And we have to break away from these chains. I keep saying it. Begin with breaking the chains. And like I say, if you think Olive Garden's Italian food, you're out of your mind. Go to your local place. I won't go to a Dunkin' Donuts. I go to a Hudson Valley coffee shop. I won't go and buy anything I don't have to buy in a chain store that I could buy locally. That doesn't mean I don't buy everything. I have to buy some things. And the other thing, most importantly, it's about getting in touch with yourself. You know, I have this line that I use. I'm alone in this world. I was married for 23 years. I have no children. I'm divorced a long time, too. Everybody I love is dead. Yeah, no big deal. You just look at life differently. And for me, again, only speaking for myself, to me, hell is taking that last breath of life and knowing that you BS'd yourself and you weren't the person you claim to be. So what I suggest is that everyone look at themselves and saying, is this the way you want to trip out of here? Are you okay with yourself? If not, what can you do to leave this planet on a happy note, a satisfied note, and a note of respect and dignity for yourself? And I believe when more people do that, they won't take the crap from these two-bit politicians and a bunch of suck-up bureaucrats and other psychopaths and sociopaths. They'll demand greatness.
You're right, and here's an example. Let the big crooks get away with it. A cop sees a two-year-old unzip their pants and start peeing on a lamppost. Come on, cops. Anybody who's had kids or been around knows when kids are 2 years old, I've got three of them. I've had daughters when they were two. My son, when he was three, at the beach. And until you tell them no, they're just like little animals. They start peeing up against a lamppost. That's what kids do right after the time you potty train them. And the fact that a cop would write somebody a ticket for that shows a total disconnect for reality. When I was at Bilderberg this year, and they didn't want us to be able to get around it, they'd gone and harassed everybody and said, don't let them park. They'd gone on our hotel and said, is Alex giving you any problems trying to find something? And I told the cops, you know, shame on you, the head ones, and I had some of the others apologize for it. But the last day, we're trying to walk down a side street on the sidewalk across a little road. It's not marked. You can't walk across it because it's a red curb if you can't. And we're trying to walk across it, and the cops come and block it and say, we're going to arrest you if you walk across there. And I sat there, and I said, you go ahead and arrest us then. This has been going on for about 10 minutes. And the national media was there. The Guardian wrote about this. And I said, do you want your kids growing up in a country where citizens can't walk across this entrance here to the Marriott on a side street? You know this isn't marked. And I said, it's not illegal for me to walk right across here and go over by the hotel, you know, on the city sidewalk. I said, can I walk? And I said, if you do this, you'll enforce anything that's illegal. And I said, do you want your children to live like this in this country? And he pointed across the street and he said, you see that mobile unit? My boss is watching me on a camera right now and I'll get in trouble. And I said, so you're going to follow orders. You'll do anything to follow orders. And he said, no, fine. Go ahead. You guys can walk across the street. And everybody cheered, and I turned back and I said, that's what we have to fight for in America, is that we can walk on the sidewalk past, you know, over an entrance where you're supposed to be able to walk. And again, it's not like people were even coming in and out of that entrance. It's that that's how far we've come. And the Guardian wrote about a victory for liberty, that we could walk across the street. And it just shows how ridiculous this is, that we're in, that people that work for the system are enforcing their own enslavement. People have got to just start saying, we're not going to be part of this, and start saying no.
Exactly. And it's what I said earlier. When you see an economy in decline like ours, and you see all the numbers coming out, they just came out with some new data that hardly made the news about how many young people born in poverty never make it out. And we're at the bottom of the list of all of the so-called developed nations. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts did a piece recently. He's showing that, no, our median income isn't below 1989 levels. It's below 1967 levels. The gap between the rich and the poor is the widest in the United States than any of the industrialized nations. Half the people in this country are dying with no money in the bank. This is the behavior of the police in third world and declining nations. Like when you saw what was going on in Egypt and how much they hate the police. That's what happens in declining societies. They hate the police. They'll arrest a two-year-old, give a two-year-old kid's parents a citation. Come on, for the kid peeing, you're going to waste your time. But John the Slime Corzine, who robs segregated accounts like mine of $1.6 billion that, hey, man, I can't find it. I had it here a little while ago. Oh, and by the way, the Attorney General, yeah, the Attorney General, who Obama's Attorney General, has not brought one Wall Street head to roll. The same firm that I mentioned, the white shoe firm he used to work for, one of the premier white shoe boys shirt firms that is the premier, one of the premier white collar crime criminal lawyer groups. They also represent MF Global, Yes, the one that John Corzine also, you know, brought
down. And the heads of the different SECs and things, they were all work for Goldman Sachs or directly under Corzine. I mean, this is a criminal group, and I guess they're going to take it all the way to the wall. I notice now they're starting little private cities for themselves where we're all chased by drones and combat troops and are slaves, and they're all back to the castles. I mean, they're going back to the castles.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And again, the whole game is rigged. You don't have a shot at making it straight. You know, by the way, when you're going to start seeing crime really, really start to escalate. They say that the fish rots from the head down. And everybody out there sees what's going on. And we're just riffing now about Corzine and all these other guys that get off with no time and all their money. So everybody else sees it. They say, hey, if they're doing it, why shouldn't I? That's the way of the world. You have to be a sucker to play it straight. So now what you're seeing, again, when you add up all the data, as you well know, what is it now, 20% of the children are living in poverty? How many of them are going to get out? Very few. They come from nothing, they have nothing, and they'll do anything to get something. So you can see how this whole cycle of violence and crime keeps building on itself.
Which is legalized slavery because they get the kids for petty things or even being late to class, put them in juvenile hall, they get beat up, they get inducted into a gang. Now they get an education in crime or they become cops and the cycle continues. It's legalized slavery. I got two final points and I want to plug the journal here because it's so invaluable for folks out there. But guns of pot users to be confiscated. Federal court ruled they can do asset forfeiture seizure for any substance abuse, including prescription drugs, alcohol, or marijuana. So now the ATF will decide if you're a substance abuser, no judge, no jury, no 68 Gun Control Act, you're not a felon, and take your guns. So now the pot users are going to have their guns taken. And I mean, the magnitude of all of this just absolutely makes your head spin when you realize that they are just trying to bring us to a road warrior level society. Obama said he'd get our guns one way or another. I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, the take is very simple. We began this by talking about the economy. I mentioned about how young people have no reference point when there used to be small farms, small businesses, small agriculture, when there were a lot of people that were in the communications business and it wasn't all closed up, it's a takeover. We're talking about the central banks in Europe tying in with the central banks in the United States. Oh, and by the way, that European Supreme Court ruling, again, with those cats in the red hats and those little red robes, they also took power out of the Bundestag, the German government, and transferred it into Brussels. So now you're going to have two major central banks working with each other. The Brussels central banks, and you mentioned Brasso before, about how they're going to start taking all the power away from the European nations and centralizing it. So what it is, what it all adds up to, and what we're only talking now about the details, Alex, of fascism, the merger of corporate and state powers. It's been a takeover. The corporations run the game. There was no such thing when I was a young guy of hedge funds and private equity groups owning corporations.
They put their people in every government. You look at Brazil, you look at African countries, New Zealand, it's always Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. They've got the regulators, they got the judges. I mean, I've never seen, and I've studied history deeply, in modern history, such a massive unification of crooks who are just literally running the police and everything else. God help us. Gerald Celente, we've got to help ourselves. God helps those that help themselves, as we know. Trust in God, but row away from the rocks. The Bedouin saying, you know, trust in God, but tie up your camel. I mean, I guess, you know, Hunter S. Thompson kind of ripped off that and said, trust in God, pray to God, but row away from the rocks. People need to support PrisonPlanet.tv. They need to subscribe. They need to share their username and passcode with up to six people. They need to spread the word by word of mouth because information and awareness and resistance can stop this. And they need to support or the organic farms and the small shops. And I go to secondhand shops for clothes. You can find even better stuff for nothing because it is about the quality. But like getting back to you, the Trends Journal, world class. I mean, I can't learn much from, you know, quite a few people, but I learned something eagerly from that when you were nice enough to send us the PDF of it even before the physical magazine comes out. The weekly alerts, all of it at trendsjournal.com. Tell people, because you never plug yourself, how they can subscribe, how they can sign up, and even if they can hear you here for free coming on once a month or something, hey, support somebody. Because look, turns out $500 million, and I already knew this, but it was now in the news, of stimulus money went to MSNBC to push their anti-freedom crap to not hire anybody, but to give bonuses to all those propagandists. They also got another $500 million a few years ago in the bailout of the companies that own NBC. I mean, it's so classic. These are literally paid mercenary mouthpieces in mainstream media. You and I, in our operations, we don't have that. And so people need to understand if they're watching out there on the internet, you need to support this information.
Yeah, the more people that support people like you, myself, and others that are putting out the word, the greater the chances are that we're going to move into a more positive future. If they keep putting their money in with the people that are raping them, guess what? They're going to continue to get raped. So the more that comes in, the more we can put out. It's as simple as that. And with the Trends Journal, which our website is trendsjournal.com, you know, we know that people are having a difficult time, and we offer a discount request. There's a little form there. Just fill it out. Nothing personal. We try to make the Trends Journal available to everyone. And the reason we do it is because the purpose of the Trends Journal, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about helping you prepare, helping you survive, helping you thrive so that you could plan for the future. And if you see the future coming, then you know how to navigate it. And I have to say that, you know, we've been around since 32 years, and our track record is second to none. And we're very fearful of what's going to go on in the future, and we need you to help us make a better future and a better present. By the way, I hate these politicians that say, I want to make the world better for our children and our children's children. How about making it better right now? And that's what the Trends Journal is really about, making it better now.
In closing here, Gerald, we'll let you go because I know you're a busy man. And I appreciate the hour you just spent with us, very gracious. It's very simple. I've been covering Bilderberg in person now for 7 years, but I've been covering it for 17 years on air. And it's just one of the big crime syndicate meetings. They tried to deny it existed, but then myself and others forced it out in the open, Jim Tucker and others. But from his moles and now some of the moles we have and staff we talk to before they throw us out, then the Bilderberg group is so mean to them, doesn't give them tips, you know, yells at them for no reason, that they always end up giving us data after. That They while they're serving them coffee and drinks and things at these board meetings, like a UN meeting, they talk about those protesters. I want to shut the economy off quicker so that they don't have the money to come protest us. And they talk about getting rid of the complex free economies, local economies to control us. They're feudalists. They're oligarchs. They constantly talk about. And they have debates. Well, if we raise gas prices too much, they'll riot and throw us out. But we want to raise it enough to impoverish them. I mean, they actually talk, because we always go to the hotels beforehand, 2 days before, and they're like, listen, we'll get fired. We'll get arrested. No way, bud. Don't you? And like, just take our card. Just call us. And they're like, it's all true. We're not allowed to look them in the eyes. They told us we're scum. Here's some documents. You know, they were saying they want to bankrupt everyone. Those people are evil. I thought you were a kook, you know. I mean, and it's the same whether it's in England or France or the U.S. or Canada. It's always the same. They're like, You know, those men are evil. You are, I mean, Switzerland with our reporters over there. We do not believe it. They are evil. Warn everyone, evil. I mean, this is what we're talking about. They want to bankrupt us. So we've got to buy organic. We've got to buy local. We've got to support alternative media now and vote with our money before they totally shut everything down. Because once they bring us into poverty, these third world countries could be wealthy. Their elites don't want people that are uppity. They want them as slaves. They want us as sharecroppers. I know I'm ranting, but final comments on that. People need to subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv and spread the word, and they need to subscribe to TrendsJournal.com. They need, just like you in your speech said, support your local farmers market and shops, people really better support us because we're facing, you know, possible, you know, prison or being killed. I'm not going to lie here, folks. This is real.
No, it's real. All you have to do is look what's going on around the world. It's going to play near a neighborhood near you. And you, as you well know, who are the first people they eliminate? The intellectuals, the people that are showing what's going on. They hate us because we're exposing the fraud. And as I said, you know, when you're talking about they're evil. To me, man, they're members of the anti-human race. There's a big galaxy out there. Look up into the sky. I don't know where these cats are coming from, but boy, they don't have the heart or soul or anybody that I know.
Well, I instinctively, they call it God-fearing, but just if I even think about doing something bad or see somebody do something bad to somebody who doesn't have it coming to them, I just have this horrible feeling like, hey, the universe doesn't like that. And it's so strong, and I just can't imagine. I watch these people, and they just enjoy hurting people for no reason, and I'm just like, man, I'm glad I'm not them. I mean, you're right, they are screwed up.
No, I watched all of the both conventions. Now I have to because of my job. And I could not believe this show that they put on. One lie after another, every cheap applause line you could believe. And then I have to tell you, you know, they put on a great show. It's part Super Bowl halftime and mega church revival meeting. And the sheep will buy it. And so when you see the level of manipulation and weigh that against the emptiness of what they say and all of the broken promises, what do people expect? No one would associate with these kind of people in business or in life or in relationships. Yet we're handing over our lives to them. So yes, you know, yeah, we need... The more that we get, the more that we could give. I know how much you give. I know how much you're out there. I don't know how hard you work, but I only could imagine because I know what I have to do to stay, you know, on top of the news and ahead of the trends. It's nonstop. So the more people that help us, the more it helps everybody.
Well, and I think what we're getting down to it is we're all in this together. I mean, I'll go back 10 years ago, sitting there watching the globalists engage in divide and conquer. And at some levels, you know, not that you even dislike people, but they're taught to dislike you. So you go, well, fine, I dislike you too. I at a very, you know, deep level understand now that that is the enemy completely because that's how the globalists win. Humanity is in this together. The ruling elite are scientifically playing us off against each other. They're cold-blooded. They are malfunctioning. They're screwed up people. You're right. They're not on team humanity.
No, they're anti-human. They're the anti-human race. Oh, and one more thing. Turn on any TV station. Go to any cable station you want. Where do you see the news like you deliver the news on your TV show? Nowhere, no place, no how.
Because you've got a gang of crooks that are anti-human because they're against everything good and decent because it flies in the face. And I mean, that was just my point. I think overall what you've said here is we're facing a real time of test. If people think things are bad now, just get ready. And we better get ourselves together and we better reach out to humanity and we better support each other and we better support local businesses and local ideas and we better just get involved everywhere because we have, see, here's the problem. When you get an evil system going, the most corrupt end up gravitating to the top, and then there's always somebody more evil who kicks them out, and it's almost like an accelerated evolution of evil, or a race to the bottom, until you get the most crazy control freak, murdering, death-loving people in. And that's the point we've reached. Well, Gerald Celente, I think this was the most powerful talk we've ever had, and I think that's because we are now coming down the line. Over in the Middle East, Africa, Latin America, Asia, they're already dying by the millions of starvation every year. 15 million a year adults, about 15 million children, 30 million. They're already being bombed by drones. They're already being, you know, Western governments funding the next group to attack them. They're already living in huts with mosquitoes biting them all day. They're already watching their kids starve to death. And I just feel sorry for all the dumb yuppies out there. Because you have no idea what you're getting ready to face if this goes all the way. Gerald Celente, final comment.
Well, yeah, you really said it, because, you know, when you're seeing what's going on over there, it's going to happen here. You don't have to have a stretch of the imagination to figure it out. You know, as we're talking, anybody could go on the computer and do your own homework and add up the embassies that are being attacked. Add up the ones that are being burned. Add up all of the violence going on. It's going to happen here, as I said. And when it does, false flag or real, bam, the hammer's going to come down. The gates are going to go up, and freedom is going to be lost. It's going to be the end of the United States of America. It's happening in front of us. This is not a stretch of the imagination. We saw what happened with 9/11. We get a couple of more like that, even smaller. Whoop, the clamps come on, the curtain goes down, and it's going to be hell to live in this country.
Yeah, I liken it to the Vichy French, who were collaborators with Hitler. That's why most of their military stood down, because they bought off the generals. Everybody serving this are Vichy French, basically. And I mean, I know you were just over in Europe, and we published last month in Article Newspaper Magazine, your article. What was the headline? It was like Thinking of Hitler or
Haunted by Hitler.
Haunted by Hitler.
Yeah, how could the Germans, these great people, they had to be at the top of civilization in the 30s, in Western civilization, let a two-bit freak like him destroy their country? The Italians, Mussolini, a cartoon character. Right over here, folks. Turn on the presidential reality show. You want to see a bunch of two-bit freaks? They're there for you. Hey, how about that cat over there in California? The guy running for Congress. Oh, you know, Alex, if you get an abortion, your cancer rate goes up. Or the guy in Missouri. Hey, ladies, if you get raped, don't worry about it. It's an unimmaculate conception. It'll never happen. These people are out of their minds, and they're running your lives.
Gerald Celente, TrendsResearch.com, TrendsJournal.com. Thank you so much. A very powerful radio broadcast, and I hope to air some excerpts of this on the Sunday transmission, 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you so much, Gerald.
Hey, thank you, Alex, for all you're doing.
Man, wow. Well, there goes Gerald Celente. But the transmission is not over, ladies and gentlemen. We had the news. We had that hour-long breakdown. We're going to go to break and come back with our reporters here in studio, John Bowne and Melissa Melton, who were already on their way this morning down to the University of Texas here in Austin, where we come to you from, to talk to a professor about an upcoming report next week. They're going to do the report now next week. When the whole bomb threat stuff started here and at other universities, when Al-Qaeda, Habib or whatever, called in, and the hysteria began, and they then evacuated the nuclear reactor in North Austin that's run by UT that no one even knows is up there. Drudge Report's linked to it now, so I guess now people know. That's all coming up in the conclusion of this Friday edition. And why is the show 2 hours long every night? We don't know if we'll be here in 6 months the way things are going. I mean, this is real. This is super hardcore. This isn't a game. You've got to come to grips with the fact that Ron Paul, in fact, we'll play that when we come back from break, that Ron Paul has come out now and said, it's time to get hysterical. It's time to panic. See, that's why I love Ron Paul. That's why I got so bummed out by Jesse Benton calling his supporters extremist and, you know, going to work for the other senator from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, and You know, all this stuff coming out, but still, Ron Paul is telling it like it is, and we just appreciate that because he's certainly not part of the problem. He's part of the solution. Teleprompter free, folks. It's just the analysis, what we really think. We're here telling you, wearing our heart and our analysis on our sleeve. We'll be back to look at this new domestic preparation for staged terror attacks. I think that's what this is. It's InfoWars Nightly News. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. You've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The KTOR hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, third edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. Therosafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF-42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Again, thank you for joining us tonight. We know there's a lot of propaganda you could be watching, a lot of Prozac pills you could be popping, a lot of government worshiping you could be doing. Now, I've talked about this when we had Gerald Celente on. Before we get to our next piece of important information, the big bomb hoaxes at universities all over the country, including Austin, Texas. But here's Ron Paul saying Americans should be panicked. They should be freaked out about unlimited QE, your tax money, to foreign banks who run our military that's training to put us in camps. It's not a very pretty picture. People might want to talk about this, make a big deal out of it, or we can go the way of every other country that was once wealthy, let criminals take over and rob us. And maybe that's what we need to do. We've been a little decadent and pig-like for a while, so maybe that is our destiny. But don't say you weren't warned. Here's Ron Paul.
The one thing that Bernanke has not achieved that frustrates him, I can tell, is he gets no economic growth. He doesn't do anything with the unemployment numbers. And from my viewpoint, I think the country should have panicked over the fact of what the Fed is saying, that we've lost control, and the only thing we have left is massively creating new money out of thin air, which hasn't worked before, and it's not going to work this time.
So there's Ron Paul on the unlimited quantitative easing. Now, joining us here are Melissa Melton, and we've also got our own John Bowne in studio with us. They were already headed down to UT to interview a professor this morning and got there in the middle of the bomb scare. And this was happening in North Dakota, now other states. Someone calls up and says, "This is Ahmed, the dead terrorist. There are bombs everywhere. I am dressed up like a mailman. I am with Al-Qaeda. I will kill you." And the country went into a standstill of just freakouts. They shut down the UT nuclear reactor that's on a giant multi-hundred-acre facility with armed guards that no one's on. They shut that down, you know, kicked everybody off. I mean, it was just running around in fear, foaming at the mouth, basically. And you guys went down there and said people were kind of getting into the hysteria. I talked to Melissa and John on the radio today. But you guys have the press conference. Our government officials, not servants, but our officials, our authorities, the mayor of Austin was there, Lee Leffingwell, who uses taxpayer money to pay for Formula One. But he calls us civilians. He goes, those of us that are officials, those of you that are civilians, but that's whenever you hear him on the news, they were all there bumbling around saying, we got everybody out really quick. Great job. You know, now these press conferences, great job. But so break down what happened and then lead us through these clips. But first, both of you on this nationwide hysteria, the wicked fling when none pursue, kind of in the psyop buildup, I think, towards, well, all the stuff we see in the Middle East right now, the October surprise they've got cooking, right in line for an attack on Iran. John, you first. Give us your take on what you saw today, then Melissa Melton, and then tell us about the clips we've got.
Okay, yeah, we've got a complete takeover of our colleges across the country, hundreds of martial law drills going on quietly and then some not so quietly. Times reporting on it, CNN, Fox News, all the local channels are talking about how we need this and everyone needs to stay in a state of fear. And you go down there and these students have been so inundated with drills that they're now desensitized, they're confused, they're afraid.
You go to college to learn how to be in a drill and they evacuate Congress all the time at gunpoint and shove Congress people. They don't move quick enough. It's the security state, just like they did in ancient China. Oh, well, for your safety, you live in a forbidden city and you have long fingernails and we feed you. I mean, it's a form of slavery.
Yeah, and then they roll out the Legion of Doom leaders that we have. Bill Powers, the president of UT, man representing the police. I didn't get his name, but it wasn't Art Acevedo. It was a guy underneath him. The city manager, Ott, and the mayor, Lee Leffingwell, which the guys is...
But the point is, you're getting into drills. Why? You guys have a hypothesis. Well, they were having drills this week. That this may have been part of that. But tell us how people were behaving down there. Break down more of the report.
Well, the report basically shows that the folks down there are afraid, that they're also ignorant of what's going on because... we found out that there was a 90-minute window when the terrorists called up. He said, you have 90 minutes, and then the bombs are going to go off. Well, these people didn't get a text until 9:51, which basically gave them about 10 to 15 minutes to get everything together.
And that was done for maximum fear, of course.
Yeah.
Now, expanding on that, did they ever reopen UT, or will it be permanently closed forever?
There were no classes until 5 o'clock tonight. So they're, you know, make sure they probably go over their data and make sure the drill went well between the federal, the local, and...
Because there aren't going to be jobs with these university degrees anymore. I mean, they admit that 90% of the time. You want to be able to pay off your bills. So why not just have it be a big brainwashing re-education camp?
Yep, and that's what they're doing. And, man, the amount of money these people are shelling out at UT to go to school there, they should all...
Hey, but they still going to worship Mevo. Come on.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if the whole thing's a hedge fund. Melissa Melton, tell us your take on all this and what you saw in the clips we're about to watch.
The students were really confused because apparently UT does this drill on the siren once every single month. I've never been to a place or worked in a place where they do a drill every month, but here they do. And so at first, all these students were just completely confused because they thought it was yet just another drill. Once it started to sink in, they were getting multiple texts. They started getting really afraid because it had been an hour and a half after they received the threat before they actually started texting everyone for maximum fear, as you said. And so people were running around. They didn't know which way to go. Students would cross the street. They'd cross back over. They didn't know where to go. And they were definitely afraid, once it finally sunk in, that it wasn't actually a drill.
The drill was a total failure.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Well, I mean, the issue is you're just saying it's a drill, but clearly when we said we were going to opt out 2 years ago, this Thanksgiving coming up, it'll be 2 years, and there was a nationwide movement to say no to the scanners, they just shut them down for a week. But I thought there were Al-Qaeda just hiding in grandma's underwear everywhere and in children's diapers. Of course, the same Al-Qaeda the government publicly lets take over the Middle East and gives missiles. But Al-Qaeda is in grandma's colostomy bag. Sorry to be gross. We've got to rip that catheter out, you know, right now out of grandpa because, you know, Al-Qaeda is in there. Miss USA got a check there. But, again, oh, my gosh. But on 9/11 in the towers, while planes have hit, they say stay at your desk. And people say, well, the godlike person on the loudspeaker says stay at my desk. Guess they needed to have that maximum death toll.
Yeah, and in this report we have that siren, and it's a very eerie digital sounding air raid-esque siren.
Very creepy.
Well, it's all Pavlovian. You're under threat. Don't worry. The empire's bombing more people. You're under threat. The government loves you. Trust no one but Big Sis. And, of course, Bush's people admitted they issued fake terror alerts before elections. And I think that's what this is, a buildup towards false flag. I see them prepping the fear with everybody. Melissa, your take.
Well, that or just prepping a reason to have TSA come onto our campuses.
Well, they are now at some campuses. They are now at the presidential events. They are at highway checkpoints. Would you feel safer if TSA was perhaps when you came into work each day to make sure you don't have an Al-Qaeda?
I mean, I think TSA should just meet me on my front porch. Just check me out there before I even get a chance to drive to work.
Well, it's going to be interesting seeing what the TSA can get away with on these college campuses. Are the college students going to rise up like they did in the 60s and 70s and actually fight? And we're going to have some Kent State things happen as a result of TSA going on the campuses. They're probably trying to sheeple people into that mind frame so that they can get on there. But it's probably there are going to be some campuses where they're just waiting
for work.
This.
Yeah.
Melissa, other points that you haven't gotten to that you'd like to make.
Well, we did end up going to the press conference, and it seemed as though the president of UT really didn't have his story very straight, because at first he said that they received the threat at 8:35, but they didn't call it in to the students to alert them until 90 minutes later, basically using up the entire time frame that the people who called in said the bombs were going to go off. But then later on in the same conference, he said by 10 o'clock everyone was safe. So I don't know how he would even know that.
Did they secure the Holy One, the golden calf, Bevo?
We didn't see Bevo. They probably got him out, helicoptered him out of there immediately.
Probably immediately,
That's probably what took them 90 minutes.
I don't know. I think I'm just going to stay away from the whole area. There may be terrorists.
Yeah. Well, they probably just rode Bevo on out of there.
Well, I mean, you can make jokes about this, but, I mean, the terrorists really want to attack us right now.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And did you hear the new Army report? The Tea Party is going to link up with Al-Qaeda.
Well, I'm just thinking.
It's more likely that Bevo is going to sprout wings and fly off. You know, they actually have a physical longhorn steer for those that don't live around Austin that everyone worships. It's usually, of course, it's drugged during football games.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it doesn't attack.
Well, much like the rest of the UT campus, apparently, because if they weren't.
Well, the UT campus is a football team, is a facade, and then literally it owns sports teams, it owns hedge funds, billions in gold. I mean, it is a giant business.
But the students should rise up and see this clearly for what it is, because we're totally awake and we're at this press conference and it just looked like the Legion of Doom sitting there telling us, you know, just telling us what.
By rise up, you mean.
Well, they need to make the people responsible aware with these drills and these constant sirens that they're paying their money. They got the fluoride out of the water over there at UT. That was a good thing. So they are awake. They need to rise up and say, look, you know, we're not going to do this anymore.
Stop.
We're not going to have any more
us.
Of these conditioning.
Rising up is what the founders did. Even speech is terrorism. You don't mean physical.
No, sir. I don't mean that at all. I just mean rise up and get groped in the morning. Preferably.
All right. Listen, we've got two clips, John. Tell us this first one.
Okay, let's go to this first clip, which is a breakdown of the report of Melissa basically talking to students about how they felt about the entire drill today.
I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. We just arrived at the UT campus where apparently a bomb threat has been called in and all of the students have been evacuated. There have been a lot of drills on campus recently. Did you guys think this was just another drill?
Because the sirens went off and it was like, why would they have a fire drill, you know, during the rain? And they're like, no, it's official, leave.
Was there an air of fear? Were a lot of people afraid, or were people just not taking it seriously because they thought it might be a drill?
Skeptical. I'm pretty sure other students thought it was probably skeptical also. But when you saw like authority, like not letting you in, it's like, okay, it might be serious.
The sirens, and I haven't heard the sirens before, and so I kind of knew it wasn't a drill, and I had always gotten a text message saying that there was going to be a drill, and I knew that it wasn't a drill this time.
At first we thought it was a drill, but then people started telling us to get off.
We're now in the heart of UT campus, where the campus was evacuated, police were blocking off streets, and moments ago a bomb was supposed to go off, and as you can clearly see, nothing happened.
Well, whenever I asked about the drills, the president of UT didn't seem to really understand my question at first. He kind of said, oh, we have lots of drills. And then he tried to backpedal and say, oh, it's fire drills, but those really work for everything. So he really wasn't able to even...
He didn't really seem to know, like, where he was.
No, pretty much not throughout the entire
Good puppet.
Conference.
Good puppet.
Another thing I thought was interesting is that somebody else, one of the other press members, asked about why they felt the need to specify to the press that there was a Middle Eastern voice that put in this bomb.
Well, it's an obvious psyop.
But he couldn't really give a straight answer to that question at all. And then somebody else tried to rephrase it for him to kind of lead him into a
he said it was
acceptable
part of the
answer. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, just preliminary. You know, 20 minutes after Breitbart's at the hospital, he died of natural causes, case closed.
Right.
And this one, it's a Middle Easterner.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see him burning everything over there. We need to go to war right now. Are you scared yet?
Yes, and how he was very worried about the whole global issue there at UT, that the global issue was very scary for him. But he
Well, I mean, the TSA will be there, so.
That's what I think this is a lead up to. I mean, that's the impression I got.
No, it is. It's martial law.
It was a celebration of 9/11 by the people that caused it. It was basically what we're seeing a week of their holiday now.
Yeah, their holiday. Yeah. We run stuff to keep you safe because we ship the narcotics in. We're the government, run by foreign banks. Now let's tell us about the next clip.
Okay, this is Bill Powers speaking. After we asked him a question. Now, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of different organizations there, all local news and some national news, and we were able to get this question in. And
you were saying that, I saw some of the tape in there earlier, they weren't asking a lot of real questions.
No.
It's so fun to get scared. Yeah. You tell us they're keeping us safe.
Yeah, they were asking.
Yes, we're going to hire every known criminal to fondle you. Don't worry. We'll keep you safe. Doesn't matter. Government's the biggest threat in history. Never mind. We'll keep you safe from Habib. Here's that clip.
Is it true that this campus has been holding drills with this same scenario recently? Yeah, we heard that from several students reporting that they'd undergone a lot of drills, so when this actually happened, they were confused if it was real or a drill.
Well, we clarified that. This is not a drill. We train both our police, our response team, and we train jointly with the city, APD. So we do prepare for a whole variety of scenarios. We also periodically have what would be called fire alarm drills. That is, there are a number of scenarios where you want to get people out of buildings, first of all, and fire, whether it's an individual building or across the campus. We have not, to my knowledge, we have not recently had a student-oriented drill for this particular scenario.
And there you have it. We have a lot more of that, which we'll put in a much deeper report. But a lot of his answers and a lot of Leffingwell's answers were completely predictable. The police officer's answers, basically that they had everything under control and everything was taken care of when clearly they didn't. And the whole thing was a complete failure and obviously a staged drill.
And we're not saying Leffingwell or any of these stooges actually is part of it. They just know to follow the script. They're there as empty suits, as mannequins for the global psyop operators to sit back behind the scenes. All right, well, great reporting. I look forward next week to the interview you guys have had to reschedule down at UT dealing with something very important. We're going to leave it at that, but great job scoring that interview. All right, we are out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Great job of the crew, as always. Everybody, we've even got Jakari Jackson in there running the board, multitasking. I got Wes in there. I got Marcos Morales. Everybody kicking some globalist hind in. Remember, it's up to you whether this video gets spread out to people. When you subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv, when you promote it, when we then post it on the web later for everybody at Infowars.com, get it out to everybody. All right, that's it for this 2+ hour transmission. I'm Alex Jones signing off for PrisonPlanet.tv. I'll see you this Sunday, 4 to 6 Central, with the Sunday show and back next Monday, Lord willing, 11 a.m. Central, Infowars.com. And I am an extremist. You really should trust everything the government says. They're very nice people. And anybody that questions them is an evil conspiracy theorist. There, I'm fair and balanced now.